Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
At the beginning of summer 2009, my parents had finally ended a rough divorce and an even rougher custody battle. The judge decided that we were to spend summers with our dad, who moved from Portland to San Diego. On the first day of summer, Dad's brother, Uncle Joe, arrived at my mom's house. Dad was busy at work and asked Uncle Joe to drive us. My brother, Jaden, practically dove into his car. He had heard a lot about San Diego and couldn't wait to hit the beach. I, though, wasn't exactly happy about the idea. I had turned 16 in June and I was hoping to spend the summer with my friends. The goal was to drive from Oregon down the Pacific Coast Highway to San Diego in 1 week. Joe said it was something he always wanted to do. I admit the view was beautiful at first, though after a while of staring out the passenger side window, the scenery starts to become a blur.
How about burgers for dinner?
Joe asked as he drove. Huh? I pulled the headphones from my ears. Yeah, sure.
How about you, Jaden? Burgers cool with you?
I looked in the back seat, seeing my brother focused on his video game. He's cool. I turned back to the side window when I noticed a man wearing a cowboy hat, dressed in old clothing and a red checkered handkerchief around his neck, stood with his thumb out as he walked beside the road. Joe drove on, not bothering to look at the man.
Hey, Jaden, why don't you put down the game and look out the window for once? You don't know what you're missing.
That's strange. I didn't think there were any farms around here.
What was that?
The hitchhiker we just passed. He was dressed like a cowboy.
A cowboy? Cool! Let's go back! Maybe he has a horse!
If he had a horse, he wouldn't be hitchhiking. As Jaden spoke, I noticed the same cowboy standing by the road ahead of us. There he is again!
Who?
The cowboy. He's... I looked into the side mirror as we drove on, searching for the cowboy, but there was no one there. That's so weird.
I know you are, but what am I?
I took a swat at Jaden in the back seat. As I looked out the back window, I noticed the cowboy standing directly behind the car, watching us drive away. Look, there he is again! Jaden popped up like a little prairie dog to go look out the back window, but the cowboy had disappeared. We sat in awkward silence for several minutes. I knew what they were thinking. I was crazy. For a moment, I thought they might be right. Then I saw the cowboy again. He was far ahead enough that I was certain they'd see him. You see him this time, right? We drove past the cowboy, but neither my uncle nor my brother said anything. Ahead, Joe pointed to a sign for an old ghost town. There was a banner below the sign announcing the town was hosting a craft fair.
Look, a fair. That would be fun. Let's stop off and stretch our legs. I bet they have food. A snack might do us some good.
We pulled into the parking lot a short time later. For a town in the middle of nowhere, there were quite a few people attending the fair. I tried to ignore what happened on the road, but everywhere I looked, men were dressed in the same clothes as the cowboy I saw on the road, down to the red handkerchief. I started to question my own sanity. Was it coincidence that so many men were dressed the same? And was the man I saw along the road actually several men, all dressed alike, heading to the same fair? As I was lost in thought, Uncle Joe was buying us each a corn on the cob. He handed me a cob, but it wasn't until I felt the burning sting of hot butter rolling down my arm did I register that he was talking to me. What was that?
We're gonna sit at the bench over there. Are you coming?
I slowly nodded. I guess I was still mesmerized by all the cowboys. Jaden was talking with a cowboy not too far from the food stand. Beside the cowboy stood a beautiful black horse. My brother loved horses and always wanted to learn how to ride.
Jaden!
Jaden ended his conversation. As he walked away, so did the cowboy and his horse, revealing the same mysterious cowboy I saw on the road. When I saw the cowboy, I jumped back, startled. The corn cob flew from my hand, but I managed to catch it before it hit the ground. When I looked back at the cowboy, he had vanished. I took a seat beside Jaden, whose face was covered in butter and corn kernels. He was going on and on about the cowboy and the horse he met. Uncle Joe sat on the other side of the picnic table, watching me with concern.
Hey, I was thinking, you guys have been cooped up in the car for the past 3 days. We should stop off in Santa Cruz tomorrow. Maybe we can go to the beach and rent some bikes. I hear they have a boardwalk with an amazing roller coaster. I'm sure your dad wouldn't mind a short delay.
Seriously? That would be awesome!
Alex, what do you say?
I didn't answer. I had noticed the mysterious cowboy again, standing near one of the log buildings. I stood and walked cautiously over to the man, unsure at this point if he would still be there by the time I reached him. I grew closer, and my hands trembling as I reached out to touch him. When I did, I realized it was an enlarged photo attached to particle board. I began to laugh hysterically. Oh my God, I'm such an idiot.
What are you doing?
It's a sign. All those cowboys I saw along the road. They must have been signs advertising this place. It makes perfect sense. I mean, how could anyone run faster than a car, right? I paused when I noticed my uncle's jaw drop. He pointed to the log cabin's open door. Inside the cabin was a museum dedicated to the family that founded the town. Along the back wall was a mural of the family, the same cowboy along with his 6 children. Then Uncle Joe pointed to the image of his wife. I paused in shock. It was like I was looking directly into a mirror. The cowboy's wife looked exactly like me. I turned back to the doorway of the cabin, seeing the cowboy standing by the door. He tipped his hat, then disappeared. I couldn't believe my eyes as I stepped into the bungalow that would be our home for the next few weeks. It was small, but cozy, decorated everywhere with bright colored flowers. A bottle of champagne sat in a bucket right in the middle of the main bed, which was 3 times the size of the one we had at home. "This is gonna be fantastic," I said as I hopped on the bed, grinning from ear to ear. Toby followed suit, though he looked a bit concern. "You okay, husband?" I could still barely believe I could call him that after dating for 3 whole years. He nodded, though the crease between his brows told me he was thinking about something hard.
"This place is just amazing. I'm just not sure why it was so cheap."
"You don't think there'll be hidden fees, do you?" I joked with him, though he was right. We did get an amazing place for practically free. The reason behind it, according to the website, was simple. It belonged to a new hotel that needed more reviews. They were willing to sacrifice some money to get them, which, well, made a lot of sense at the time. There was also a story I had heard long ago about the island and its protector. I couldn't recall much of it, just the fact that it was heavily tied into the life of natives. "Anyway, let's not think about that. Let's go explore the resort." I grabbed Toby by the hand and started dragging him out into the tropical heat. We were both exhausted from flying a red eye to the island, but I needed to see what we were in for. It took us only a few minutes to find the main reception room of the complex. We were led to our room straight from the car, so that was our first time looking at it. It looks very empty.
Empty.
We said that word together, looking at each other with a small smirk as we did. "I thought there'd be more people," I added quietly, but then quickly shook my head. "Well, at least we have a whole lot more space for ourselves. I bet we won't have to queue up for food or drinks either." Toby mustered up a grin, though he looked a touch uneasy as well. This was our first fancy vacation together, so I think we both wanted it to be perfect. Being lonely wasn't an issue when we were with each other, but it was still a bit odd that... "Oh, sorry, I didn't see you there." A member of staff, Brenda, a receptionist, all but appeared in front of us. I couldn't help but take a step back. Just how long had we been standing there like fools?
Whoa! I didn't see you there.
Toby's back touched the ornate walls. He looked nervous for a second. I quickly grabbed his hand, giving it a gentle squeeze. I knew that he could be a bit anxious around new people. I couldn't really fault him, to be fair. No worries. I apologize for how quiet everything is right now. We are expecting a large group soon, so most of our rooms will be filled then. But for now, the two of you can explore the resort at your leisure, of course. Whether we have two guests or 200, our facilities are always open. Brenda rattled that off as if it was a script she'd learned somewhere. I couldn't fault her much. It was clear that English was her second, or maybe even third, language. If anything, I couldn't help but admire her for the smile she could put on even after scaring the living daylights out of us. Do you have any suggestions on where we should go? I asked after a quick pause, shifting my gaze from her to eye the lavish gold decorations. Some parts of the hotel resembled a church or temple with strange paintings that I could have sworn depicted saints and not just random people. That being said, who was I to judge their taste? As long as it looked nice, I didn't care. Since you are all alone for now, why not explore the waters a bit? You can rent some equipment here, anything you need. Oh, and of course, do explore the restaurants too. I was up in the Japanese one just now, and everything I had was delectable. We nodded at her enthusiasm. It was nice to be treated so kindly. However, there was something I noticed in Brenda's behavior that felt a little strange. She was shifting from side to side as if it was uncomfortable. Perhaps it was the heat? We'll go explore the beach after grabbing a quick snack then, I decided. Toby let me, though he squeezed my hand tightly straight after. Brenda nodded and, with the biggest smile on her face and some quick words about how she wanted us to have the best time here, walked off.
Something's not right here.
Toby murmured into my ear as we made our way to one of the bars that was supposed to sell snacks. We had a handy map that we found in our room, so despite the lack of people around, navigating the place wasn't that hard. You're just being dramatic. It's a brand new hotel, and Brenda even said that they're getting... I was cut off by a strange sound. It was a low, raspy growl that I couldn't place. What the? I turned around, trying to find the source of the sound, but I couldn't.
I have no idea what that was.
Toby seemed even more nervous, biting down on his lower lip as he pulled me a bit closer to him. His grip was warm, but shaky. Must have been the radio or something, I concluded after a second, though even I doubted my own words. It was uncanny, after all.
Wanna just go and take a look at the beach first? I'm sure we can stop by the beach bar for some chips or something.
Toby started pulling me outside before I could even say anything. I felt bad for how spooked he was, but there wasn't much I could do about it when I felt similar to him. However, hiding it was the only way I could make sure he'd remain somewhat calm. It's funny how we could both be so nervous in such situations, but one of us always had to be the strong one to push on. The beach was as silent as the rest of the place. Even the waves crashing against the shore sounded muted, as if there were cotton buds in my ears. My husband looked around with an odd expression on his face. The beach was supposed to be the picture of serenity and beauty, but it wasn't. It felt alive, almost, the wind ripping into my hair with each step I took. The sand was too hot, burning my feet.
It's saying get away,
Toby murmured finally, taking a few steps back. I rolled my eyes at him, thinking that he was playing. Come on, we both know that's not true, I said. Or, well, wanted to say. Before I could have muttered anything else, my vision went black. The pain only registered in my head when I came to. I was kneeling in the shallow water, hands and feet bound. Toby was nowhere to be seen. There is a saying here in our corner of the woods. You gotta work for what you want. But first, you have to make sure you have permission from nature to do so. Oh, that was similar to the story I'd heard. But why couldn't I remember any more of it? Brenda, her accent had changed. She sounded as if she'd spoken English her whole life. Was it all an act? The first few fish a fisherman get need to be thrown back into the ocean. They become an offering, a gift. Or perhaps you could even call them part of a sacrifice. Wait, what did she mean by that? Two lost souls will give us the much-needed attention from the press. It will be negative first, of course, but then curiosity will win. People will flood our resorts wanting to see where our very first guest stepped into the ocean, only to never return. "You're crazy!" I shouted, trying to move away, to do anything. My heart was pounding rapidly in my chest, tunnel vision setting in as I could see nothing but the rough, hungry waves. Legend says that a beast is lurking in these waters. He's rarely seen, but he brings well-deserved good luck to those who pamper him the right way. Toby was sitting next to me in the sand. His eyes were wide but unseeing, an expression of fear frozen into his features. I tried to get his attention by shifting towards him, but I couldn't. Instead, I tried to look where his eyes were pointing. The monster Brenda talked about was real, and it was very, very hungry.
No matter what we went through during the year, family vacations were a tradition we always followed. Usually it was my wife, my two kids, and me. But since no one could take care of him, this year we brought our dog Max on our vacation to the coast. At the time, I hesitated to bring him, afraid that the trip would make him too anxious. Little did I know that without him, I never would have realized the danger my family and I were in. The first day passed without incident. We arrived early at the beach house we had rented, and the kids just wanted to get out of the house to go to the beach. They were euphoric, running along the seashore and building sandcastles while we were sunbathing and watching Max. We were having a great time, but as the days progressed, an unsettling feeling began to come over me. I don't know how to explain it. It felt like someone was constantly watching us. I couldn't say exactly when it started, but little by little, that feeling became stronger and stronger. I thought I was going crazy. I kept looking everywhere, thinking someone was watching us. The weirdest thing is that I only felt this since my family seemed to be having a great time, so I decided not to say anything. One night, I took a walk. The kids and my wife were sound asleep in the beach house, so it was just Max and me. The roads were quite dark and, to my surprise, deserted. I was very uncomfortable. I again felt that someone was watching me, but I looked everywhere and there was no one. Halfway through the walk, I decided to turn around. I didn't want to be in that place for one more second. Suddenly, Max stopped dead in his tracks. His ears perked up and he began to growl in a way I had never heard him growl before. His body tensed and he stared into the darkness. My heart began to pound uncontrollably. If I was already paranoid before, this just made things worse. "Max? What is it, boy? Did you see something?" I tried to calm him down by petting him, but it didn't work. Max became frantic, barking madly and trying to escape from his leash. Finally, he broke free and ran off into the darkness. I had no choice but to follow him. At which point, I didn't care about being watched or the idea of someone being near us. If you had a dog, you know when it's in danger, nothing else matters. I ran after Max at high speed, his bark echoing in the night. I didn't know where we were going, and I was afraid I would get tired and he would run away. Luckily, I caught up with him. The dog had only run for a block and a half backward. As I grabbed his leash, I thought Max got so nervous about another dog nearby. But no. They were both barking, but they weren't looking at each other. They were looking down a dark alley. When I looked down that alley, I saw it. It was a dark silhouette staring at me. My body froze in fear as I watched that figure. The darkness hid his features, but it was clear that he was stalking us. I wanted to believe that it was a person living on the street or some teenagers, but it wasn't. His gaze was fixed on mine, and he didn't seem to be scared. Maybe it was the paranoia of the moment. But standing there, I felt a horrible aura of oppression. I felt like a helpless animal in front of a hunter. In an instant, the figure moved rapidly in our direction, and my heart skipped a beat. I grabbed Max by the collar and ran back toward the beach house, with the dark figure following close behind. Adrenaline coursed through my veins as I ran desperately, struggling to maintain the slim lead we had. I realized I would never make it home in time, so as the shadow was about to catch up, I ducked into a public restroom near the beach. My hands were shaking as I reached for my phone to call the police. But at that moment, my blood ran cold. No. My phone, where is it? After a few seconds of desperate searching, I realized that my phone had probably fallen to the ground while I was being chased. Before I left the house, I knew I had shorts with large pockets and no zipper. I thought my phone might fall out, but I didn't care. I preferred to be comfortable. And now I was paying the price. On the other side of the bathroom, the stalker was banging on the door desperately, trying to get in. Max was also very frightened. At first, he barked a lot from nervousness, but after a while, he ducked his head and hid next to a toilet. The night wore on and the fear only increased. After several minutes, the knocking on the door stopped. But every now and then, we saw a shadow behind the door. Maybe it was other people passing by, or maybe it was the stalker, but I didn't want to take the risk of checking. Eventually, exhaustion and stress got the better of me and I fell asleep. When I woke up, the light in the bathroom where we had taken refuge was off, and the door was wide open. My heart was pounding harder than ever, and to my terror, I realized Max was no longer with me.
Max, Max, where are you?
At that moment, I realized what was happening. That laugh wasn't coming from outside the bathroom. The laugh was right next to me. The light coming in from the outside illuminated the bathroom a little bit. Just enough to reveal a figure hiding in a corner next to the door. His face was black, his smile was macabre, and his hideous yellow eyes were staring at me. The man, or whatever it was that was stalking me, was beside me. Desperate, I ran for the bathroom door. But before I could get out, a cold, firm hand grabbed my shoulder. I turned to face the person, but at that moment, I was pushed back hard and fell to the floor. Laughter filled the room. I quickly stood up again and escaped the bathroom. The stalker didn't try to stop me again. He just kept laughing. I ran in the direction of my house. I didn't feel watched anymore. I didn't see anyone behind me, but I kept running away, crying. Finally, I arrived at the beach house where my family was sleeping. I entered agitated with my heart still beating uncontrollably. Max was there, safe and sound. He had returned on his own as if he knew he was supposed to wait for me there. I called the police and explained what had happened, but when they arrived, they found no trace of the person who had chased us. On the other hand, they told me that they found my phone on the ground, with a cracked screen, but it still worked. I had recorded a video of Max barking at the stalker. I'm still watching the video, trying to wonder what it was that we came across that night. I tried not to let this get to me, but I keep finding more and more excuses to go on vacation somewhere else. Every night I go to bed with my wife, I can't help but think of one thing. If he wanted to, the stalker could have made me never leave that bathroom. The only reason I'm alive is because he wanted me to be. And tomorrow, if something like that happens to me again, I don't know if I'll be that lucky again.